Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Man Up, also underwritten by McDonald Imaging Solutions.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy One studio, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com. Also, please like the show on Facebook, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. I am Joe Stopulis. Today, I'm joined by my friend, Father Chris Rising, to discuss Samuel and a little bit of Saul in our Great Men of the Bible series. Let's start in prayer. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Excited to talk about Samuel on the other side of the break. One of the great figures in the Bible, Samuel. You can't learn enough about him. He's got tremendous wisdom for us. Last time, walked through the books of Judges and Joshua and a little bit of Ruth. We've entered the Promised Land now, and we've had this cycle of sin and servitude and then God redeeming us and bringing us back through a judge in these cases. And now we're going to get to the last judge in the line of Israel's judges, who is Samuel, and then the entrance of the first king. So now we're getting into this royal kingdom with the introduction of Saul and the people, as we'll talk about next time, or during this episode, the people begging for a king. So much, this is such a hinge reading for us to get into, to understand salvation history. So very important to understand these texts, especially in Samuel. Got to talk about the Iowa Catholic Radio golf outing coming up here next month, June 14th. It's a 8 a.m. shotgun start at Blank Golf Course out on Country Line Road. You can find more information on this at Iowa Catholic Radio events page at iowacatholicradio.com. Should be a great time. I'll tell you, Iowa Catholic Radio, there's one thing they do well, outside of having great programming, obviously, but the events are awesome. I can't encourage you enough to get to any or all of these events. The Man Up events, obviously, I'm partial to. The Men's Stag in the fall. All the events that we put on through Iowa Catholic Radio are all top-notch, and I can't encourage you enough to get to those. So we're going to head to a short break. When we return, we will have Father Chris Rising with us in studio. So stick around, and we will be right back.
Thank you, Construction Professionals, for underwriting Man Up. Construction Professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com.
In the Heartland with Bishop Pates, Friday mornings at 9 and online at iowacatholicradio.com or on the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
R&R Realty is showing others the work of Jesus Christ through local programs like In the Heartland with Bishop Pates, only on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for programming of Catholic Women Now partially provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte. Cindy Schulte on the web at cindyschulte.com, 515-226-2111. Cindy and her team know health insurance.
Thank you, Confluence Brewing Company, for underwriting Christ is the Answer with Father Ricardo and for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Father Ricardo is featured daily at 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. Confluence Brewing Company is located off the bike trail south of Grays Lake, confluencebrewing.com.
The Catholic Tuition Organization provides tuition assistance to qualified families so they can send their kids to our Catholic schools. Great tax benefits for donors and great education for our kids. Online, ctoiowa.org.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my weight.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. I am Joe Stopulis. Today I'm joined by Father Chris Rising. He is the pastor at St. Patrick's in Perry in Des Moines, which is where Father Zach was born and raised, and he was ordained there. He studied at Mundelein in Chicago under the great Bishop Robert Barron, was ordained a priest in the Diocese of Des Moines in 2006, and we've gone on a few vacations together. Father Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You were actually referenced yesterday, believe it or not. I was going for a hike with my children. We did the Raccoon River Trail, and my oldest and my second were grabbing walking sticks
Oh, nice.
For the path. And I said, well, Father Chris, has a great walking stick he bought when we were in Estes Park, I believe. Yeah, that's hilarious.
It was great.
You were being referenced yesterday on our hike through the woods. So we are, as you know, doing this Great Men of the Bible series, kind of a timeline through salvation history. And we just finished last time with Father PJ walking through the book of Joshua and Judges, then a hint of Ruth in there, which brings us to the first book of Samuel. The prophet Samuel is one of my favorite people in the Bible. Actually, just had became a godparent to a new Samuel.
Oh, very good.
Yes, this weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, it's a great name, he's such a great person to learn from, so I'm excited to jump into it today. Samuel, as we're getting to context here, we've just come out of the book of Judges, where the Israelite people will fail, and then God will send them a judge, and there'll be this period of silence, and they'll fail again, and they'll send them a judge. Samuel is the last of the judges, right?
Correct. He's the last of the judges, and he becomes the bridge between the judges to the kingdom.
Yep. So that is kind of the context historically of where we're going with the story of Samuel. Let's kind of start at the beginning. And I think a lot of people do know these stories, which is good, that they're somewhat familiar. But 1 Samuel 1, that first chapter, is really about Hannah. She's kind of the star of that first chapter. What do we need to know about Hannah? What can we learn from Hannah?
Well, Hannah, I mean, she's in the temple. She's praying. And they think she's drunk.
Yeah.
And she says, I haven't had wine. I haven't had anything. I'm here praying to God. And she's told, your prayer will be answered. And she conceives Samuel.
So one of the things I think about Hannah right off the bat, and we're going to see this later when we see the story of the call of Samuel. The call of Samuel, when we look at the perspective of everything that's going on in the world, and this will help kind of set some of this up, but you've got Eli's sons are terrible, which we'll get into chapter 2. Eli himself is kind of lazy, not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And Samuel is sleeping in front of God. So all this is terrible. The only light right now is Hannah.
Yeah, because, I mean, she's a woman of God. She's a woman of great faith. And she says, here's my son. I give my son to God since he gave me the son. And she also continues to care for him, bringing him clothes and things of that nature as he grows up in the temple.
So Hannah's been, she's barren, cannot conceive a son, and then she prays to God. And this is where people think she's drunk, and this is in 1 Samuel 1. This is 11. O Lord God of hosts, if you will indeed look at the affliction of your maidservant, remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give to your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life and no razor shall touch his head. So she's going to dedicate him back to the Lord. But I think similar to kind of a St. Monica, the being judicious in prayer.
Continuous.
This has been going on for decades where she can't have a son, can't have a son. And how many times in the Bible already, we're only, a quarter, or not even a quarter of the way through, how many times we've seen that story?
It happens over and over because you look at Abraham and Sarah, and you look later then down the road with Zechariah.
There's a lot of these faithful mothers who remain, even in times of trouble, remain faithful to the Lord. So she's in the temple. Sure enough, God does, Eli says, listen, if you're really praying that hard, God will answer your prayer. And she does. And now we're in the second chapter. This is kind of interesting for most most Catholics that know the Magnificat fairly well. Mary's prayer. Well, she basically, I don't want to say she steals it, but she borrows heavily from Hannah. Is that a, can I say that?
I think you could say even better. Mary was a woman of faith, and so the prayers, the tradition, they're part of who Mary is because it's not like we steal the Hail Mary.
Yes,
it becomes,
good point.
It becomes part of us just as much as Mary's praise of God became part of her because she was a faithful woman like Hannah.
Yep, so Mary.
And even more so.
So that's one of the other good takeaways, and we'll get this when we get to Mary. But she had her eyes set on the Lord at all times, and so she was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was ready to receive the word. And so she would know this prayer from 1 Samuel 2. Hannah, when she found out she was pregnant, my heart exalts in the Lord, my strength is exalted in the Lord, my mouth cries my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. And then it goes on from there for basically a half a chapter, how similar it is to Mary's Magnificat. So Hannah, very excited, she's now pregnant, and we hear about the backdrop of the story is Eli's wicked sons. So Eli's got these two terrible sons that are supposed to be priests, and they're not doing a very good job. So you got Eli, who's supposed to be overseeing the priest, and he's not doing a very good job. And you got the priests, these two priests, who are not doing a very good job. And then Samuel comes in the scene, and he is sleeping before the Lord. So, not a great setup. And, oh, by the way, we forgot to mention this. The Lord had not shown up in a while, right? So, oh, this is in Samuel 3. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. So, yeah. Not a good...
Well, yeah. So, I mean, you probably get a time where Eli, to his defense, I mean, he's been serving the Lord, doing what he's supposed to do. And you know what? Maybe the love wasn't there because he hadn't heard the voice of the Lord. That, I mean, there wasn't the passion.
Yep.
And then if there's not the passion, the father, the son's kind of, oh, yeah, whatever. And it leads to this point where you have Samuel sleeping in the presence of the Lord, which I don't think is maybe necessarily a bad thing, but it's to say, I'm sleeping close to the Lord, as close as I can get to that presence.
So the boy Samuel, it says here in 1 Samuel 2:26, and the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with men. Then there's this prophecy against Eli's household. Again, Eli, not his sons are not doing very good things at this point. And now we get to 1 Samuel 3. Now, this is where the Lord calls Samuel. This is kind of that famous scene. But again, as I mentioned, it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. So we have this break now between the book of Judges and the book of Samuel where the Lord hasn't spoken to Israel in some time. And so the people are, they don't know what the Lord sounds like. They're starting to lose faith in the Lord. And then it says at this time, Eli, whose eyesight had grown dim. And if you want to walk through the Eli story, hopefully our listeners have heard it. But if not, you can kind of walk through it here.
But so his sight grows dim. And if I remember correct, he's getting elderly. He hears basically about the loss of the temple or of the Ark of the Covenant and the loss of his sons. And I mean, he pretty much dies in the end. I mean, because it all goes south for him in the end. But,
yeah.
But before that, Samuel has his call, and the call is amazing because Samuel hears this voice saying, follow me, basically. And so he goes running to Eli and saying, hey, you called me. Because obviously, I mean, he's elderly, he needs help. Mm-hmm. And he says, no, I didn't call you. And happens again. And it's only on the third time that Eli is able to say, look, it's not me calling you, so if the voice comes again, say, here I am, Lord. Because it's not me calling you, and it's obviously the voice of God coming
and
back.
And that's where we get a great song like, here I am, Lord. Now it's going to be stuck in all of your heads all day long. So
Yay. He
does, exactly. So he answers the call, and the Lord tells Samuel, so this is the first time the Lord's spoken to anyone in a long time, that basically he's gonna take Eli and his sons to task.
Yeah.
And Eli then says, hey, Samuel, what did the Lord tell you? Tell me everything and don't hold anything back. He's like, listen, bad news, Eli. And sure enough, what the Lord says happens. So they go out to battle. His two sons die. And then Eli, like, breaks his neck. He falls over when he finds out his sons die.
Yeah.
He basically, like, has, not a heart attack, like, falls over and, like, he dies because he's so shocked from his sons dying. So sure enough, all that happens. Well, then in chapter 5, the Philistines capture the Ark. Okay, yes. So this is not good, right? So the Ark, when we went into Jericho last time, the Ark of the Covenant would lead them in battle. Well, now this time they left the Ark at home. They went into battle. They get slaughtered. And now the Philistines come and say, well, we'll just come grab the Ark and take it home with us. And turns out to be a very poor decision on their part.
Oh, it is. And I mean, it's almost I don't want to say it's hilarious, like funny ha-ha, but they put the Ark next to their pagan god because, I mean, back then in those cultures, you'd put all your gods together because you don't want to offend anyone because, heaven forbid, you switch gods and bad things happen to you. Well, all of a sudden, this false god, the image of Dagon, he keeps falling down prostrate before the Ark. And so they put him back up on his pedestal. He falls down again, and his arms are broken off, and his head's broken off. And finally, they're like, we shouldn't have this here with the Ark. And then they start getting boils and tumors and all this stuff.
And then they keep sending it. So they take it from one place, and they're like, hey, get it out of here. We don't want it anymore because people are getting tumors and boils. And they send it to the next place, and the Philistines were like, listen, get this Ark out of here. Send it to its own place and let it not stay with our people because everyone was scared of it. So the Ark of the Covenant obviously is still showing its power, and the Philistines end up just bringing it back and saying, here, we don't want this anymore. You can have it. Essence of time, we got to move along.
Yes.
This is where the real meat of the story happens. Now we're getting to 1 Samuel 7, and Samuel is now being appointed as a judge of Israel. So Samuel has proven himself to be a astute man. He is... wise and honest. And now Samuel said to the house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord, this is the message of Samuel. It's over and over again throughout the book. If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away your foreign gods and all the other gods among you, and direct your heart to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. And so the people did that, and sure enough, God delivers them.
And that's a beautiful part, because he's saying, get rid of all these pagan gods, because, I mean, they picked up the pagan gods, they picked up the false amulets and things, and they get rid of it. And that's the amazing part, and you see how well Samuel was respected. Because, I mean, if somebody came in today and said, hey, take this out of your house, how many people are like, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And this, I love this. We talked about this before the show. But then right after he tells them that, he leads them in fasting.
Yes.
And atonement. So now they all say, we have sinned against the Lord, and he led them all in a fast that day. How often we talk about on this show getting back to fasting, how important it is. I had a great conversation this weekend with someone about the importance and the power of fasting, not just during Lent, all year long, yeah. Whenever you could, especially if you need to, if you're making a big decision in life, if you're going to buy a house or switch a job, you should be fasting for these things. So now we're in 7:15, and it says Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Well, Israel asks for a king, and it's kind of boiling up now. They have all these judges, and a judge leaves, and a judge dies, and then there's quiet, and they want a king, and the Lord says to Samuel, listen, they have not rejected you, they've rejected me from being the king over them. Now then, listen to their voice only, and you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king that will reign over them. And so then Samuel says, this is what Samuel is saying to the people, these will be the ways of the kings who will rule over you. And it's very long. This goes for about 8 verses. I'm summarizing here. They'll take your sons and appoint them to chariots and horsemen and run them before the chariots. He will appoint them as commanders of his thousands and his fifties. He will take your women and make them to be cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards. He will take your manservants. He will take your flock. He will rule over you. And then in those days you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourself, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. So Samuel very wisely warns them that, hey, this, you think you want this just because all, and this is because all the other people have kings.
Yeah, it's like everyone else is driving a Maserati. I want a Maserati.
I want it. I want what they have. And so they see all these other, the Philistines have a king. All these other people have a king. We want to be like them. Samuel's the only one standing up saying, this is a terrible idea. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And the Lord's like, listen, just let them do it.
Yeah.
And I'll be with them, but they're going to have some problems. So Israel's demand is granted. We want to have a king over us like all the other kingdoms. And so now we're going to have this transition from the last judge, i.e. Samuel, to Saul. So now we've got to choose the king, and Saul is chosen to be king here. Now we're in 1 Samuel 9. And so now the day before Saul came, the Lord revealed this to Samuel, he will save my people from the hand of the Philistines. I have seen the affliction of my people because their cry has come out to me, has called out to me. And then he points to Saul. Samuel says, there he is. That's the man I'm going to choose.
And I mean, amazingly, too, it's like, it says he's the most handsome man in all of
Israel.
He's
like tall. He's handsome. But
he's like a good kingly appearance.
So he looks like a king.
Yes.
So that, I suppose, if looks are all that matter, he's doing okay. But we'll find out quickly that might not be the most important.
No, he doesn't have it all.
Doesn't quite have it all. So then Samuel points, and I like this, 1 Samuel 10. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it on his head. So why is the Catholic Church anointing people with oil? Why do they do this? Why do they do all these physical signs? Well, because we've been doing it for generations. It's what the Bible
centuries.
Says. Yeah.
Millennia.
Yeah, millennia. Yes. So he's appointing the first king, and he anoints him with oil. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come mightily upon you, and you shall prophesy with them and be turned into another man. So this is where we're saying Saul is becoming king. And it's a very short honeymoon.
Yes.
Is that what I would say? Is it not a tremendously long period of time that Saul?
I mean, I think he goes on for a little bit, but I mean, he has his kids. I mean, he starts kind of going down the wrong path, because it all starts with a bad sacrifice. Because Samuel's coming to offer a sacrifice, and Saul's like, you know, he's not here. He's a day late. And to his defense, there was no cell phone or email to say, hey, I'm running late.
You give him too much credit.
But from that time he offered the bad sacrifice, he just starts making one bad decision after another.
Yes. So he does defeat the Philistines, but that's about the only thing he does. He has a bad sacrifice to the Lord. He does not listen to the Lord. And then things go south. So here's And we only have, gosh, we only have 2 minutes left. This goes too fast.
So it does.
On Samuel's farewell address, everyone take your Bibles. I'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and read the whole thing. So this is what Samuel's telling the Israelite community. First off, he basically walks through salvation history up to this point. Says when we brought you out of Egypt with Moses, and then Jacob, and it starts walking through them falling and the Lord picking them back up again. He says, when they forgot the Lord, this is what happened to them. When they sinned, the Lord delivered them from their enemies. So, again, this is kind of like in the New Testament when they're walking through and Stephen's telling everyone that all of salvation history. It's a similar version of that. So now we're at 2 Samuel 12:14. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, and if you and the king who reign over you will follow the Lord, your God, it will be well. But if you do not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, and then the hands of the Lord will be against you and your king. And it goes on from there. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after vain things, which you cannot profit or save, for they are vain. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. So Samuel tells them, here's the way it needs to be. Here's how it's supposed to be. If you go away from this, things are not going to happen that are going well. And sure enough.
And that's what Saul did, and then that brings us to David.
Yep. And so now I'm trying to find it in here, but so Saul does his unlawful sacrifice in where now he's already going awry with the Lord, and now we're at 1 Samuel 13:14. Samuel then says, now, but your kingdom should not continue forever, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. So we already see that the kingdom of Saul is going to be replaced by a man after his own heart, who is King David. So now we're going to have two kings. So this will be a hot mess when we get into the man of David next time. So you can see there's already a problem.
Yes.
In about two chapters, it didn't take long for this whole kingdom thing to go awry. Anything else that we can learn from the life of Samuel?
I think just his continued fidelity and also looking to what God wants. Because even when he goes to anoint David, he goes through Jesse's sons and he starts with the first one. Oh, he looks just like Saul.
Yeah.
And he looks amazing. And God says no seven times and says, hey, the youngest son out tending the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously, when he comes in, he's like a handsome man. But more than that, he has the interior heart for God.
Yeah.
And that's what Saul was being directed to by God is, look at that heart.
There's a lot of great takeaways, especially in these first 13 chapters of 1 Samuel. Father Chris, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
We're going to stick around for a short break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you to Confluence Brewing Company for underwriting Christ is the Answer with Father Ricardo, heard Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Confluence Brewing Company is a local brewery in Des Moines featuring seasonal and limited release beers. They have cans and growlers to go, apparel, and other gifts for family and friends. Live music is featured in the tap room. Confluence Brewing Company is located off the bike trail south of Grays Lake. Thank you to Confluence Brewing Company for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio on the web at confluencebrewing.com. That's confluencebrewing.com.
Why give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? To help families who want to send their kids to our Catholic schools and just can't afford it. Some donors like to give part or all of their required minimum distribution from their retirement account. The 65% Iowa tax credit you receive are a tax benefit you just don't want to pass up. Ask your tax advisor or contact us online, ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You can't.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis. My thanks again to Father Chris Rising for joining me in studio to discuss Samuel. And again, a little bit of Saul there as we work through the Great Men of the Bible series. I want to just dwell on this a little bit longer because I think Samuel, to me, points us to right praise of God and ordering our lives correctly. And he hits it over and over again. It's kind of the theme of Samuel's life. But this line in 1 Samuel 12:24, which is, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. He talks over and over again about serving the Lord, putting away evil things, not worshiping false gods. Obviously, he was around all of these false gods. He saw over the course, especially through the judges, he understood the history of Israel and that when they served false idols, bad things happened. But when they turned their hearts to the Lord, good things happened. This has been the story of Israel over and over again. And Samuel really encapsulates that and helps us to understand that when we serve God, good things will happen. John Leonetti and IO Catholic Radio are joining Blessman International for a pilgrimage to South Africa on August 1st through the 13th. Go to iocatholicradio.com to learn more about that. That should be an awesome, awesome trip. If you can join John on that, that is a life-changing trip. Everything Blessman International does, everyone I know who's gone on those trips comes back changed. They're very well done, top rate. So go to iocatholicradio.com to learn more about that. Next week, as we just had our first king with King Saul, we already know that Samuel told him that he is going to seek out a man after his own heart. We are moving to the book or the great man of David in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. And we will have really excited to have on the great Mark Hart to join me to talk about David and the impact and what we can learn from the man of David. So thank you again for joining us on Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis. It's time to man up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.
Man Up, also underwritten by McDonald Imaging Solutions.